Welcome to Freshfire's weekly podcast.
Okay, wow. Okay. Do you know, even if all we did was worship, it's enough, right? Yeah. Just one look in his eyes, you get all the revelation you need, yeah? However, I can't just do that today because we are in a season where the Lord is actually emphasizing his word like never before. Like never before. I want to start in 1 Corinthians 10. I'm not really going to take too long there, but I want us to set up here in that if we can. And then I want to move over to Proverbs 3. So if you have your finger in two places, that would be great. One of the things, God is dealing with me right now. Some of you be pleased to know. He's dealing with me right now. You know when certainly for me, when I'm in a season of great moving of the Lord, because you start to hear the downloads from heaven of what God is saying to the house, what he's saying to the church. You begin to hear it, begin to hear the trembling in your heart. But there is a resonance as well, because I find myself in other places hearing the same thing and other people sharing the same thing. And right now there is a call. There is a call for the church to rediscover the power and the authority of the Word of God, like never before. And so over these last few weeks, those of you who've been here, you will have heard me talking about the Word, the Word, the Word. We've been talking about fathering. We've been talking about coming back to the discipline of obedience to the Word of God. And today, I want to continue in that vein and just read some scriptures to you. I want to start in 1 Corinthians 10, but I want to read it from where the thought begins, which is 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body or flesh and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Or, some version says, cast aside. Think about that. Paul having a strong wake-up call about his own ministry and his own journey, and understanding the importance of bringing his flesh, that sinful nature, under control. You know, one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. It's the ability to control yourself. And sometimes, and I think in this emerging culture that we have right now, We are being told left, right, and center that our flesh, our sinful nature should not be controlled. That whatever you feel you are, be it. Whatever you feel you want to do, do it. And there is this just casting off of any sense of discipline. It's, well, I feel like I want to do this, therefore I'm going to do it. And that is furthermore propagated than ever before that I've seen in my whole Christian walk in the last 20 years. It's everywhere now, everywhere. The sad thing is, it's in the church. But this is where it's deceptive, is because many people growing in a hunger for the voice of God and for the prophetic, but without a reliance upon the Word of God. And so what ends up happening is the deception of, I'm feeling this, therefore that's God. And what it means is, it means when people have formed the opinion of their experience in their minds, and they've put on their flawed, dysfunctional conscience the voice of God. When it comes back to reading the word, they don't read it as it should be read. So instead of reading God is love, they read love is God. Which means if I love this person sexually, romantically, then therefore it's God. Because love is God. You see the subtleties of deception, how these things get in. When our own conscience is not seared by the word of God, we end up making the word fit what we want it to fit. And the Lord will not give you that liberty. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will endure forever. He will not give you the liberty to make scripture fit your compromise. My compromise. He won't let you do it. He will hold us accountable for it. And the Corinthians had this mindset, well, everything is permissible. Why? Because we're in grace now. Everything's permissible. Yeah, we can just do what we want. I can sleep with my mother-in-law. Yay, I can eat any food or whatever. I can have this relationship. I can have a homosexual relationship. I can do this, that, the other. Why? Because everything's permissible now. The grace of God covers all our sin. Paul says, you may say everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Not everything is for you, the good of your soul. And he goes on in this chapter 10, he says, I want to make sure I'm striking a blow to my flesh so that after I've preached to others, I'm not going to be cast aside by the Lord. And he says, because I don't want you to be ignorant, verse 1, of the fact that our ancestors were all under the cloud. Everyone say cloud. And they all passed through the sea. Everyone say sea. I just want to make sure you're with me. What is the cloud? Well, the cloud was the cloud of his presence. It was the manifest presence of God, the glory of the Lord. The cloud came by day and the fire by night. If you remember in the Old Testament, they all passed through the glory cloud. What might Paul be saying here? He's saying they all passed through the presence of God. They all passed through the Holy Spirit. He also says, you all pass through the sea. What is that? Well, do we not pass through water? He unpacks it. He says, they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud. What's that? They were baptized into the power of the Spirit. And they were all baptized in the sea, which means what to us today? We went in the tank. Some of you have been blessed to be baptized in the River Jordan or exotic locations like that. Some of you are Blackpool, you know, but some of you just a swimming pool. But the prophetic signs of being baptized in the Holy Spirit and being baptized in water, Paul's saying, don't think you got it sorted just cause you've been baptized and just cause you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. He says this, they all ate the same spiritual food and they drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. We see all these prophetic pictures in the Old Testament of Jesus, and he's in every scripture, he's in every verse, he's in every chapter, he's in every book. He's all the way through. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now, he's writing this to a New Testament church that are enjoying the power of the Holy Spirit. This is like a Toronto blessing type environment. You know, Holy Spirit's going crazy, but there's some disorder in the house. Now, these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Don't be idolatrous, as some of them were, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ, as some of them did, and were killed by snakes. Ready? Verse 10. Same category, by the way, as idolatry and sexual immorality is what? Moaning. grumbling, criticizing, slandering. Do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by what? A destroying angel. The days are coming when we say or sense angels in the room, everybody should be a little bit. I think in the past we've kind of been, oh, there's angels in the room. Let's. But every angelic encounter I see in the scriptures is followed with fear and trembling. I can't think of one where any person felt good about it. Am I right? I mean, I'm prepared to be corrected if I'm wrong, but every encounter I see, they either fall to the floor dead or they're shaking in fear and trembling. Yay, angels are here. Ooh. These things happened as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. That means the whole fulfillment of everything God was trying to do is here in this present day. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to us all. And God is faithful. This is a good part of it, right? Woo! God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. This is the goodness of God. This is the grace of God. But it's the Father heart of God that gives warning to us in this day. So my challenges to the church over this, into this new season that we're in right now is it's time to get back to the Word of God. And it's time to understand how to live out the Word of God in our lives. There is a scripture, there is an example from the Word for every single issue you're going through, every single challenge, every single trial, test, whatever it is. There is a scripture, and therefore we should be without excuse. We should not be like the world who fall into despair and unbelief and doubt and fear and trepidation. We should be ones who knows the Word of God and know how to apply it to our lives. Amen. There are people being snatched away. Why? Because they do not know the Word of God. You know, if you know the Word of God and you're walking in the Word of God, the enemy can't land on you at all. He can't get a foothold. Never mind a stronghold. He can't have any way with you at all if you're walking in the Word of God. Some of the prayers you're praying, some of the cries of your heart, if you just applied the Word of God, you wouldn't even need to pray it. Seriously. It's the prophet that says, "My people perish for what? Lack of knowledge." So isn't it time we start to know what the scripture actually says? You see, within it, if we become trained by the Word of God, we actually start to, that's the best way to become like Jesus, because he is the Word. The more Word you have on the inside of you, the more Jesus you got on the inside of you. You know, we pray, you know, "Lord, make me more like Jesus." Well, he can't until you start reading the Word. And people who read it or hear it and do not put it into practice, the Bible says that they are like people who go to the mirror in the morning, they brush their hair and they do their face, but then they walk away and forget what they look like. How do you forget who you are? Remember that TV show? Only the older ones will know this, Quantum Leap. Yeah. He used to wake up in someone else's body all the time. He was like, look in the mirror, but like, oh! But that's what it's like for us. When we are untrained by the Word. And here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. What is the increasing challenge for all of us in this day and age is that When we do start to speak to one another the word of God, to bring challenge and to bring correction and to bring even just revelation, there is now a trend growing in the emerging generation that says, yeah, I know that's what it says, but God's making an exception for me. I know that's what that says, but that's not what God says to me. God's telling me it's all right. So this boyfriend that I've got that's not saved, God says he will be saved one day, and he's making an exception for me. So that bit where it says, do not be unequally yoked, that doesn't really apply to me. The relationships, pre-marriage, and you're getting your kit off before the ring's on the finger. Well, we love each other, and we are going to get married, and we're married in our heart. We're married in our heart, and one day we will be married. So we're just kind of getting ahead of things. Not what it says. It's not what it says. Why would the Lord of heaven and earth, who lives forever and ever and ever and ever, with a word that endures forever and ever and ever, make a compromise for a little puff of smoke? He will not do it. He will not do it. Amen? Yeah, not many of those today. Proverbs 3, let's get to some good news, right? How do we start to live out the word of God? Proverbs 3. I love Proverbs. What I'm hoping by the end of this is, by the way, is not that we all feel really bad about ourselves, but that we actually start to feel really good about the word of God. Because it's life and light. The Bible says it's a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. Proverbs 3. Okay, I want to try and get through this in the next... How long we got? We're already late. I wasn't listening for you, I was listening for the Lord. Sorry. I'm changing now as a leader. I'm not people-pleasing anymore, so... Hopefully you like me better after that. Probably not. Proverbs 3. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. Don't forget. How do we not forget? We don't forget by putting the word in our heart. It's got to transcend from just our meditation. It's actually got to descend into our heart. And as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Proverbs says that the heart is the wellspring of life. It brings forth life. So if our heart is full of the word, we're never going to forget it. There's going to be this automatic flow of godly lifestyle coming out of our lives because the word has taken root in our hearts. So it's not just simply about doing memory verses. Right? It's not just simply reading your Bible every day, trying to just be able to quote something. It's about it transcending from here into here so that it actually takes root. And without thinking about it, when a situation arises, there's a word there that will come forth. Oh, I'm being cursed right now. I know what to do. Bless you. Here's some money. Bless you. Here's a gift. Let me take you out for lunch. Take your enemy out for lunch. Who does that? Godly people do it with the word of God in the inside of them. It comes forth. Oh, I feel offended right now. Okay, what do you do? I know, tell everybody about it. No, what happens is on the inside of you, in your heart, you go into automatic default, which is the reset that's happened because the word got in your heart. It says, I know exactly what I need to do. I need to talk maturely to the person that upset me. Right? But sometimes it's not a case of forgetting. Sometimes it's a case of willful disobedience. that we actually don't want to hear that scripture, or we don't want to hear that word, and so we do the la 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 la. There is, when we get to that place, it starts to get dangerous for us, right? Hebrews, if you read Hebrews, well, read it all, but read Hebrews 3 and 4 in particular. It says this, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And it's reminiscent of when the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. Remember when Moses would come, he said, let my people go. And it says, Pharaoh hardened his heart. In other words, he resisted the word of the Lord. Resisted the actual word of God. Okay? But then it came to a point where it says, then God hardened his heart. That God hardened his heart. So there comes a point where the easier it is for you to say no to the Lord, the easier it is to willfully disobey, the more you get down the line, the more you get down the track, eventually God says, do you know what? Boom. I've hardened it for you. I've always wondered about that passage in Matthew where it says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not prophesy in your name? But the Lord will say, away from me, I never knew you. Wow. What happens? Well, somewhere along the lines, they've functioned in the gift, but somewhere in their life, hardness of heart got in. Distance was created. And God can't see himself. You know what the Father's looking for ultimately? He's looking to see his Son in you. He's looking to see his face in you. He's looking to see his character in you. And so when he's looking at you in judgment day, he's looking at, do they look like my kids? If your heart's hardened to him, how can the life of God burst forth into fruitfulness that actually demonstrates that you've been conformed to the image of the Son if it's hardened? Because remember, it's the heart, it's the place of the heart where God actually does the transforming. Because it's out of the heart comes the issues of life. Out of the heart comes the words. Out of the heart comes the identity. And so if that's hardened to the Father, what's going to produce? Nothing but awfulness. And he looks and goes, yeah, pretty sure you're not mine. I saw you prophesying. Pretty cool. I saw you casting out demons. Yeah. But that's because of what was on you. I ain't concerned what's on you. I'm concerned on what's in you. Even the devil knows how to dress up as an angel of light, right? So it's not even just about forgetting, but it's about intentionally keeping the commands of God in our heart. For they will prolong your life by many years and bring you peace and prosperity. That word prosperity, it has its root in the idea of shalom. Peace and prosperity, it's a poetic thing that the Hebrew writers do. Peace and prosperity means the same thing. It's shalom. It means nothing lacking in your life, emotionally, spiritually, financially, in your family, materially, all of these things. There's nothing lacking. That's his heart for you, that you're blessed in every single way. Yeah? This is his will for us. But he can only bring that forth out of you if we're aligning with the Word of God. Okay. I want to do the whole chapter, but this is going to be absolutely impossible to do today. So I'm going to pick out some things. This one we like. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. The Bible says there are many ways which seem right to a man, but in the end it leads to destruction. Jesus talked about the broad way, the broad and wide way. It's open, and he said, ultimately, that path leads to destruction. But there's a narrow way. And a narrow way is like squeezing through tightly through a gap. I might have to lose a bit more weight yet. Squeezing through tightly, a very, very tight gap, which means you can't take anything with you. You can't take your stuff. You can't take your baggage. You can't take the things you long for. You just have to set your face this one and say, I'm going that way. And it means traveling light. It means I can't take these things that do not operate there. I have to travel light. That's why the Hebrew writer says, throw everything off that hinders you. So don't lean on your own understanding. This is your own capacity to try and figure things out. This is your own reasoning, your own logic. Logic and reason, by the way, have shaped our Western culture. They came out of the Sophists, which were a group of thinkers in Greek times around the time of Jesus. The Sophists actually started to devise these ideas of logic, reason, and they would have explanations for the universe. It's where we get the word philosophy from. They were coming out with their vain imaginations and arguments and strongholds of reasoning and thinking. That's why Paul says, I wage war against every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. He was going after the mindset of the Greek culture of the day, which is starting to shape the Western world. He's going after it. I said, I tear every high thing down, every vain imagination, everything that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Why? Because they were having arguments to suggest that how creation came to be. Remember, you see it in Athens, he's there, and there's a statue to an unknown god, and he tries to reason with them, and didn't work. Only a couple got saved, and he walked away from that, and he said, from now on, I will not come with wise words and persuasive teaching, but I will come with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. It's because he understood logic and reason are earth realm things. They're man-made attempts to man-made wisdom, which, by the way, James calls demonic. So any way you try and think and reason, you are actually partnering with the Sophists that had an argument and an answer and a reasonable explanation for things rather than faith, rather than trusting God at his word. How many of us are actually still plugged in to the way of the world? We do things the way the world does. If I do this, this, and this, I'll get that. Yeah, it makes sense. Jesus says, if you die, you'll live. Don't make no sense. If you give, you're going to be absolutely rich. Don't make no sense. How if I give everything away that I get everything? Doesn't make no sense. You see, the kingdom does not work in logic and reason. It's a supernatural kingdom, and the word of God transcends the ways of the world, for his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts. Amen? We have to come up higher. We have to. This is what real repentance is, by the way. It's, I'm not my will be done, but yours. Not my thoughts, but yours. Not my understanding, Lord, but yours. Doesn't make sense to my finite mind, but I'm not going to perceive things any longer with my finite mind. I'm going to discern it with my spirit that knows my Father and knows when the Father is speaking, because there's an inner witness that bears a witness with my spirit that says I'm a child of God and I hear his voice. There is that inner conviction. Some of us, I believe, have become so dull to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, myself included, over the years, that when the Lord is speaking, we can't hear anything. I was just sharing with some of the team this morning just some of the journey that I've been having. And for a long season, a while back, that I was hearing God, but it was kind of like, you know, if you ever swam underwater and you hear noises, but it's all muffled and murky and you're still hearing, right? You still know that the Lord is speaking to you, but it's dull. But of late, there has been this clarity that's come where it's like, boom. And the voice of the Lord comes in and you're hearing him like the day you first got saved. You know, it's like, wow, this is actually a work of renewal. This is a work of revival, that my ears are opening, my heart's quickened to the conviction of the Spirit like never before. So, you know, even to the point where there's some things in my life where the Lord is going, yeah, you know, you're just not doing that anymore. You're just not doing that anymore. It's not that it's necessarily bad. It's just not good. It's not God. And so there's this calling to come up higher. Not to get into, and this is where we've got to avoid. It's not about getting into a religious spirit. It's about falling in love again with the Word of God. Recognizing this actually will bring us long life and peace and prosperity if we obey it. Lastly, let's finish around here. My son. Anybody get happy when you hear that? My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father, the son he delights in. What the Lord is trying to do is trying to cultivate the sonship in you. To cultivate that sonship that, yeah, we've been born again. Not of human seed, but of an incorruptible seed. We've been born of water and of the Spirit. But John said this in 1 John, I think it's verse 14. He says, we have been given the power to become children of God. When you think about this, we've been given the power to become the children of God. What happens when God gives you the power to do something? What do you think he expects? To what? To use it. To accomplish what? That which it was purposed for. So if he gives you the power for something, he expects you to use it for that same thing, right? So if he gives you the power to become children of God, what are you doing with it that makes you transition into children of God? I want to illustrate it with a story, and some of you may have heard me say this before. I used to work in the adoption service in social services years and years and years ago. And I had to work with families that were on the brink of breakdown. So where kids had been adopted, but the whole family was just in chaos and the kids weren't attaching and weren't settling. They were sending people like me to come and help to bring peace, actually. Be a peacemaker, and to help give some respite and some relief to the family. But one of the things I observed all the way through in all the families that I worked with was the same thing, is that you had loving, absolutely loving parents, and all they want to do is to love these adopted children. They just want to love and love and love, and they've been desperate their whole life to give love to children. And they were... the children have been given the power to become children because legally they were adopted, the paperwork is signed, and they even have their names changed to be part of that family and to integrate into the family. But even though the power has been given for them to become children of that family, what was a common experience in every single family I worked with was those children did not want to be there. They couldn't, in their hearts, make the connection. Though it was signed, sealed, delivered on the paper, though the names were written in the book, let's say, doesn't mean that they actually became their children. And there was this young boy, I'll not mention his name, but he had so much potential. And I'm telling you, I would have liked to have been adopted by this family. I mean, you would want for nothing I mean, this was literally, you know, prophetically, it was like living in the house of the Lord. I mean, it was grandiose. The dad had motorbikes and fast cars, and they had this huge property, huge land, and they would want for nothing. And the mother, she confided in me. She said, when these kids reach a certain age, they're going to inherit this. And when they reach, when we pass, they'll inherit the whole estate. And it was worth millions and millions and millions. And I'm like, but this boy, the girl was adopted from a baby, and so she adapted a lot easier. But the boy just couldn't get it. Just couldn't get it. And my heart bled for him, because I'm like, you just don't understand what you're in. You don't understand the privilege you have. You don't understand the love that is there for you. The power was there for it to happen, but the intent of the heart could not yield and could not accept. And I remember him saying, as soon as I'm 16, I'm signing up for the army and I'm out of here. And I'm like, wow. I don't know where he is now. But just throwing up, it's the orphan heart. It's the orphan heart. That no matter how good it is around you, no matter what the inheritance is there for you, you just can't get past yourself. And I think what God is looking for more than anything in this day and age is not for fancy apostles and super prophets and all of that. He's looking for kids. Looking for kids. He said, unless you become like these little children, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. I want to inherit. So I'm less concerned about trying to be an uber apostle, and I'm more concerned with trying to be an obedient child to my Father. And I could step down today and sit in the back, and that would do me fine. It really would. If that's what the Lord was asking me, I would do it in a heartbeat. Because the highest calling is to be his son. It's to be his son. Why? Because he just loves his kids. And he wants to see the word, his own son, the living word, inside each and every one of us. Amen? Shall we leave it there? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, would you just confirm your word to our hearts? Where our hearts have been hardened, where they've become calloused, right now, Holy Spirit, just come. Soften them. Make them tender again. Do you know the Holy Spirit can have two effects on the hearts of people? He can harden them or he can soften them. And it's all about attitude. It's all about us. It's about our attitude. So Holy Spirit, we ask that where our hearts have been hardened, you soften them. Help us to become more, but for revelation of the mysteries of the word. Help us to be ones who use the power to become children, that we might actually position ourselves as sons and daughters, as heirs of Christ, heirs of the kingdom. Help us to walk out the word of God in our lives, to not be like the hypocrites, but help us to walk it out, to live it with all faith and all obedience. And Lord, would you restore the joy of our salvation? Help us to enjoy your presence again and to enjoy your word again. That when we read it, when we enter into your presence, that we just, our hearts will skip a beat, that we will find the lover of our soul, that we will find the enriching that comes from the washing in the water of the word. Let there be a revival in our hearts for the Word of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just seal it. Just right now. Just take a moment. Just in this. Just let the Lord speak to you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.